This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Captain Chuck Nash, U.S. Navy retired. He's also a Fox News military analyst. Last week, you may remember his expert analysis on the situation regarding the Maersk, Alabama, as the Somali pirates held the captain hostage after the crew had been able to regain control of the ship. Today, he joins us to discuss long-term options for solving the piracy problems in that part of the world and elsewhere. And, Captain, it's always great to have you with us.
Nice to be back, Greg.
Well, the discussion continues today. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton making a brief statement on this issue today. And at the same time, another U.S. ship had actually avoided being captured by pirates. It was fired upon. Secretary Clinton saying that one of the things they're doing is creating some sort of international commission on counter-piracy. What do you make of that, and what do you believe ought to be at the forefront of this agenda?
Well, the forefront of the agenda ought to be coming up with a consistent, very well understood definition of the liability of these shipping companies so that they can get out from under the rather nebulous situation that exists today, where they are afraid, from a legal perspective, to arm their crews. Because in the final analysis, what this comes down to is the inherent right of self-defense. And the carriers, the shipping companies, are very reluctant to arm their people because there is no consistent certification process that is recognized whereby best practices are used, where people could be certified under some international standard to use firearms in self-defense against pirates. So the lawyers would have a field day with this, and until they can come up with something very consistent, it's not about just providing military assets, because the military can't be everywhere all the time. We have to arm these merchant mariners.
And so private security, whether it's a firm like Blackwater that's obviously been dragged through the mud for a variety of reasons, something similar to that where these private shipping companies can contract private security on board is the most effective way, you think, of deterring these folks?
I think that's an initial step until we train up the merchant mariners themselves and get those folks certified, just as we have trained up some airline pilots who carry firearms in the cockpit. That is, you know, over and above the federal air marshals that are flying in the back. So it's not just the United States government that's providing the security. It is the pilots themselves under a very well thought out certification and qualification process that those pilots have to go through before they are certified to carry firearms in the cockpit.
What about the larger problem of the piracy? Do you believe it's a responsibility ship by ship? You mentioned that the military can't be everywhere at once, so should there be some sort of adjusted military strategy, or is this really going to be up to the private security if it's allowed on these vessels?
Well, I think, Greg, what we need to do is we need to start imposing limitations on where these pirates operate. Right now, they're operating 300 to 500 miles out off the coast of Somalia into the Indian Ocean, which means you've got literally millions of square miles of ocean to cover, which automatically dilutes any of the protective forces that the nations of the world would put out in the form of their navies. So the Navy ships are so scattered all over these millions of miles, square miles of ocean, that even if someone were to be attacked by pirates, by the time the Navy ships got there, at 22 or 25 knots, trying to go 300 to 400 miles, it's over. So, therefore, if you go back to the beginning of this, these pirates started out in open-hulled fishing boats going out 20, 30 miles off the coast. Then international warnings were put out through the International Maritime Administration for shippers to avoid close proximity to the Somali coastline, which they did. They started going out to 100 to 200 miles. Well, then the pirates would take larger ships, fishing trawlers, and use those as mother ships and take them further out, capture bigger ships and take them further out. So you see what's happened is they have expanded their reach and dramatically increased the square miles that need to be protected. So therefore, what we need to do is roll up that process, starting with getting the rules of engagement from the administration through the Pentagon for our Navy to take out those mother ships and squeeze them back up against the coastline, which automatically makes the job of the military much easier because it dramatically reduces the amount of area to be covered.
And Captain, in our discussion prior to coming on air here, you also mentioned that there's a money trail here that you believe we can effectively cut off.
Absolutely. These guys are getting anywhere from $1 million to, we saw in the case of the Sirius Star, $3.2 million in cash. So that money is showing up in the form of U.S. $100 bills being airdropped to these guys. That money then goes ashore and disappears, except from what I've heard from sources that if you look at where the high-value real estate in Nairobi and Mombasa is being purchased by Somalis. So now, it doesn't take much of an imagination to figure out that what these guys are doing is they're running this piracy business as a very lucrative business, and then they're taking the money and they're buying up expensive real estate in neighboring countries in case they have to flee there. The other thing is that the Al-Shabaab group, which is a was the military arm of the ICU, the Islamic courts, they are a known terrorist group. They're on the United States State Department's Foreign Terrorist Organization list. They have direct ties with Al-Qaeda. There was an article in today's Wall Street Journal that detailed all those links. But the fact of the matter is, Al-Shabaab and the pirates are different. They were different. Let's put it that way. They were different. In fact, they were mortal enemies. Now what's happening is, after the Navy's successful rescue over Easter, where the Somali pirates were killed, the Somali pirates now are starting to sound like terrorists in that they are threatening to take U.S. ships and massacre the crews. So this no longer becomes this random thing. It is absolutely incumbent on U.S. flag carriers to carry protection, because the old rules, just like airline hijackings prior to 9/11, there was a different way of dealing with it. After 9/11, that all changed. And after Easter Sunday, it all changed for the shippers.
Well, Captain, we'll see exactly how these vessels and their companies react, as well as the government and our military. Great analysis as always, sir. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Greg.
Captain Chuck Nash, U.S. Navy retired. He's also a Fox News military analyst. Up next on the program, we'll be joined by Craig Roberts. He's spokesman for the American Legion. His organization is outraged by a story we talked about yesterday. The Department of Homeland Security suggesting that military veterans could be recruited to engage in violent acts against the government by right-wing extremist groups, which the government defines as anyone opposed to abortion, illegal immigration, or gun control. Dateline Washington, we'll be right back.